brought to us by Mr. Carlos Martinez.
Thank you, Mr. Fleming.
Good afternoon, brethren. I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too, wherever you might be. Weather in Puerto Rico this week has been very gracious. We have very sunny days, clear blue skies, a lot of wind gusts, a little bit of humid nights, but we're also blessed, and we've had a few rain showers here and there, which is typical for this time. So we do thank God for those blessings, and I also want to extend my gratitude on behalf of the family for all the prayers for my mom Lily and the prayers that we received for my two older brothers as well. So we thank everybody for that on our family's behalf. Well, brethren, we are in the midst of the beginning of a new Gregorian calendar year. It is 2021, and in this month of January, which is close to being over, we have seen many things happen in the United States. First, a very controversial and rigorous election for the Senate runoff in Georgia, which let the Democrats control the Senate with the new Congress. Also, now President Biden and his administration took office as the new Congress and government take charge with what needs to be done around the nation. Obviously, if you watch the news, you will notice that most of the executive orders signed by Biden is a clear indication that the new direction the United States of America is heading towards is like, it's like having an Obama 2.0 administration. And there's a reason why the Obamas decided to move to Washington, D.C. in the first place. The United States has a new government, and there is no doubt that any and all actions taken will come under probably no scrutiny from the far left and progressive media, as well as any and all avenues of information, such as the television programs, radio talk show hosts, social media, and newspapers. We are in a trying and difficult time because during the last 4 years, we had an administration with now former President Trump that put God first above all else, and America first, without caring what other Americans and nations around the world thought of the situation. We are in a turning point because God's will was that the election in November 2020 turned out to be what it was, even if it was illegal and stolen. God ultimately chose the fate of the United States to be from blessing, and hopefully we pray, not a cursing, but only time will tell. I can assure you that the pattern with Democrats state that everything of faith will be a challenge. Just look at everything that has opened with the COVID-19 virus, but yet churches are to be closed. The hypocrisy is evident, and what we are about to witness, I pray, is not something seen in Scripture. Now, I mention all of this because I want to focus today's sermon on a particular book in the Old Testament. And in fact, it is one of the minor prophets in the Bible, but with an important message to all the nations. It is a book that we generally do not turn to, and one that probably is not one that we read during our weekly and daily Bible studies. I am talking about the book of Nahum. Today's sermon is actually titled Warning from Nahum. Warning from Nahum. We will read this book, and in fact, for the entirety of the sermon, we will be spending our time here because it is an interesting collection of warnings, events, and consequences for nations that decide to go against God and focus all of their attention on the things of the world. It is a book that we can use today as an example for what needs to be the standard of nations and how this can apply to current events happening in our nation today. Before we begin reading the book of Nahum, I want to give you some background as to the origins of Nahum and what timeline we will be covering in the Bible. Now, as I mentioned before, the book of Nahum is in the Old Testament, and it is after the book of Micah and before the book of Habakkuk. The book is only 3 chapters long, and each chapter is no more than several verses. There is not much that is known about Nahum, but God did allow the book of Nahum to make it into the Bible for a reason. The location of where Nahum is from is the town of Alkosh, and there are several different reports as to what that would be in today's world. For example, some academic scholars put it in northern Iraq, others in Capernaum, and even others in northern Galilee. In addition, Nahum was a Hebrew who lived in peace within the Elkoshites, the people of Elkoshai. The book of Nahum takes place 100 years after Nineveh had repented, and God having withdrawn his judgment on the people of the city. Also, this takes place during the days of the Assyrian Empire, and Nahum is put in charge by God to deliver a vision of the fall of that same city, Nineveh. The problem is that the Assyrians have forgotten their revival and have returned to their old habits of committing acts of violence against the people, worshiping idols and false gods, and their overall attitude of arrogance and what we call today a modern-day superiority complex. The vision and prophecy allude that Babylon will destroy the city with no trace of it at all to remain, a prophecy that will ultimately be fulfilled in the painful details outlined in the book. Now, what is interesting to me is the meaning of the word Nahum itself. It is a Hebrew word that literally means comfort and consolation. And the word Nahum itself is a shortened form of another familiar prophet to all of us, Nehemiah, which means comfort of Yahweh. Also, the word Nahum has 2 different meanings from the Strong's Concordance for reference. The first is Strong's 5151 from the Hebrew word Nakum, which is spelled N-A-C-H-U-M, meaning an Israeli prophet. Secondly, Nahum is also Strong's 3486 from the Greek word Naum, which is spelled N-A-O-U-M, meaning Nahum, an ancestor of Jesus. Now, with this background information in mind, there are 3 unique points we will be going through in the book of Nahum, and each one represented by a chapter in the book. The first chapter we will read and learn about what is to come for the people of Nineveh, the current events in the empire, and current state of affairs. The second chapter deals with the prophecy of the downfall of Nineveh and how they turned their back on God towards wickedness and evil ways. relate a legacy of a forgotten nation and people. Finally, we will look at how a comparison to the United States of America can be obtained from this, because we cannot go down the same path as Nineveh. And we pray we do not. Let's begin by turning, if you haven't already, to Nahum chapter 1. And we will be reading today from the Modern English Version, as it will simplify the story as we go along with the sermon today. And we will pick up a few verses to start. Nahum chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, "An oracle for Nineveh, a writing of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord avenges and is furious. The Lord takes vengeance on his enemies, and he reserves it for his adversaries. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and the Lord will in no way acquit the guilty. In gale winds and a storm is his way, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes and dries up the sea, and he makes waterless all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither up, and the sprout of Lebanon wastes away. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt. The land rises up before him, and the earth and everything that dwells on it. Who can stand before his anger? Who will rise up before his burning wrath? His heat is poured out like fire, and the rocks are broken up before him." The first couple of verses here in the book of Nahum outline how God really feels about nations that do not obey his word, his statutes, and his laws. Nahum begins by outlining the importance of determining how to best manage a situation that a nation deals with, because our Heavenly Father is a loving and merciful God. But when provoked to anger by the actions taken from a nation, it really puts into perspective the power of destruction that God has in his hands. Nahum details the wrath that is to come, and how to best see all of it is through the different descriptions Nahum details. The entire elements of the earth, from water, land, mountains, rocks, and results to what can be done to the entire planet, are given in a context of what needs to be done for the nations to have a chance against the fury of God. But all efforts are in vain, because God avenges his people and destroys and takes care of the enemies of God permanently. Let's continue here in verses 7 through 8 now. It says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of distress, and he knows those who take refuge in him. As a flood running forth, he will bring an end to distress, and he will pursue his adversaries into darkness." The words in these verses allude to an important point in the book of Nahum, because not everything in this book, in the Old Testament, is about death and destruction of the Assyrians. Nahum outlines the importance of knowing that God is good to those who do good to him and his people. God is truly our fortress and stronghold, as we just read in these verses, in the days of peril. No matter what a nation does to us, his people will always be protected, and distress will no longer be a part of our life. God's chosen and called out people are the pillars of the protection of his everlasting love and covenant with us. Our adversaries are no match for God, because there is nothing that mankind can do that can derail what God has planned for his people. Reading now verses 9 through 11 here in Nahum chapter 1. It says, "Why do you all scheme against the Lord? He will bring it to an end. It will not rise up a second time, because they are like interwoven thorns, and as drunkards imbibing, they are consumed like completely dry stubble. Out of you, O Nineveh, comes one, a worthless counselor who devises evil against the Lord." Nahum delivers the message that there are those in leadership positions that conspire against God and his appointed chosen people. The evil against the Lord is planned from the enemies of God through the belief that Satan and his ways can come before God. And we all know that cannot be true. There is no exception when it comes to God and the protection afforded to his people. The worthless counselor can be attributed to a modern-day leader of a nation who ruthlessly and relentlessly pursues the ways of God and attempts to take God out of the equation and lives of his people. Let's read the finishing verses 12 through 15 here in chapter 1. It says, "So the Lord says, even though they are full and many, they will be cut down and it will pass away. Even though I have afflicted you, I will no longer afflict you, O Judah. Now I will break apart his yoke from over you, and I will tear apart your bonds. The Lord has given a command concerning you. No longer will your name go forth. I will cut off the carved image and metal image from the house of your gods. I will prepare your grave, for you are despised. Look on the mountains. Come the feet of him who brings the good news, who proclaims peace. Make your feast, O Judah, and complete your vows, for the wicked one will never again pass through your midst. He is completely cut down." We read in these verses how God ascertains the critical element of protecting Judah from the wickedness that is to come. The evil that surrounds Judah from the actions taken from the Assyrians present an essential element of understanding that no matter how many people surround God's people, and like we read in verse 12, that they are more and many against their numbers. God will instill his will on the situation and take care of the situation at hand. God instructs Judah to maintain themselves loyal to the ways of God, and God will remove the yoke that symbolizes the burden placed on them in the first place. that enables negative actions to be done is no more, because God will not allow evil to consume that which is His. God allows evil in the world as a testament to the faith of His people, because remember, brethren, this is Satan's world. He has control over the minds of people that want to do evil. But the evil done cannot be more than what God allows to happen. Judah can rejoice, as should we, because no matter how much evil is in the sight of us, it cannot go more than what God has planned for us. Trust me, if it were up to Satan, none of us would exist in this world, and it would be complete and utter chaos in every single nation out there. However, God is perfect in His ways and will not allow our enemy to have the upper hand in every single aspect of our lives. Our Heavenly Father is about order, and His time is perfect in everything that goes on in our lives. Let's turn to chapter 2 now, here in the book of Nahum. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 2. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 2, "He who scatters has come to you. Guard the fortifications. Watch the road. Prepare yourself and strengthen yourself, for the Lord is restoring the prominence of Jacob, even the prominence of Israel. For others have certainly laid waste their vines." The description given in these verses presents the scenario of what God is about to do to the people of Judah, and that is that the restoration of the people of Judah is necessary because of what is to come to the city of Nineveh. The warning is given, and God Himself lays out the concept of others wasting their lives because of their wicked ways. The instructions given are clear. There needs to be ample preparation done on the part of the people, and everything needs to be focused in on what is about to happen. However, we cannot just let our guard down just because God is going to protect us. We must all be watchful and must all be aware of what is going to come. God will always be on our side, but we cannot act as if nothing is going to happen around us. Let's read verses 3 through 6 now in Nahum chapter 2. It says, "The shields of His mighty men are soaked red. Even the mighty men are clad in red. In the day He prepares the chariots, they are like a fire of iron. The cypress spears are ready. The chariots run wildly through the streets. They rush to and fro in the open areas. Their appearance is like torches. They dash to and fro like lightning. He remembers His officers as they stumble about on the road. They hurry onto the wall as the siege tower is set up. The holding gates are opened wide, and the palace washes away." We read about the chaos and disorder that is happening around the city of Nineveh. The blood in the streets, the clashes among the people, and the way the palaces are described as being washed away give way to the prelude of what everyone is attempting to do. There is no peace or order with the enemies of God, and this was no exception. Nahum describes in his vision that even the best people in the armies are taken away, and how everyone in this situation will be running about like crazy people. I can only imagine the chaos surrounding everyone. Also, like in typical fashion for the people around the nation, people will be attempting to turn to their own people for help, for salvation, and for protection. But of course, all will be done in a vain effort. Let's read verses 7 through 10 now in Nahum chapter 2. It says, "It is decreed, she is uncovered and led away captive. Her handmaidens shall lead her as with the voice of doves, beating their chests. Nineveh is like a pool, whose waters run away. Halt! Halt!" they cry, but no one turns back. "Plunder the silver, plunder the gold. There is no limit to the treasure or to the wealth of every precious thing. She is desolate, empty and waste. Hearts melt away and knees shake. Pain is in all the loins and all their faces grow pale." Nahum details how desperate people will get when it comes to the destruction of the city. "The sins of all are paid with the price of the fury that comes from God. And even then, people will not pay attention to orders given from their people in leadership positions. Everyone will be attempting to save their money, their possessions, and whatever they can get their hands on to fill their needs. However, they do not realize that nothing that we physically own in this life is worth anything or can be used to protect us from what God has in store for those who oppose Him and oppose His anointed ones. We can read as things happen that when God fulfills His promise and His word, it does not happen over a long period of time, but things usually escalate quickly, and the results are in almost immediately. We can read how Nineveh goes from a wealthy and prosperous city to complete and utter destruction in a matter of moments, all happening at the same time. The shaking from people, I can imagine the nervousness, and their faces completely changing color from all of the events that are unfolding during this time. Let's read verses 11 through 13 to finish with chapter 2 here in the book of Nahum. It says, "Where is the den of the lions and the feeding place of the young lions, where the lion and the lioness prowl, and the lion's cub goes, with no one to disturb them? The lion tore enough food for his cubs, and strangled prey for his lionesses. He has filled his caves with prey, and his dens with flesh. I am against you, says the Lord of hosts, and I will burn your chariots in smoke, and the sword will devour your lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messengers will be heard no more." There are always people who will be the voice of the people in nations, and today we see no exception. Mankind, even from the time of Nahum, to today's society in 2021 always want to look up to someone for guidance. Look to man for reasoning, for hope, for their faith, and for their protection. People want to hear what they want to hear, just from another person. This is exactly what happened during the time Nahum had the vision. The people of Nineveh confided in false prophets, people, messengers who delivered what they wanted, instead of relying on God. God is a jealous God, and he will never stand for allowing his creation to have more voice than him. The problem is that mankind wants to always self-proclaim that he can provide a solution that is plausible through words. But there is not a single action that man can take that does not go above the perfect will of God. Let's turn to Nahum chapter 3 and read verses 1 through 3. It says here in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Woe to the bloody city! It is full of lies and plunder. The prey never departs. The noise of the whip and the noise of the rattling of the wheels, galloping horses and rushing chariots, horsemen charging with flashing sword and glittering spear. Multitude of slain, great number of corpses, dead bodies without end. They stumble on the corpses. If people are not within the actions commanded by God, trouble will always be a part of their lives. And a nation cannot prosper if it is full of lies, deceit, and evil ways." Nineveh did not learn this lesson, and that is why this needed to happen. Can you imagine in a town where you are that there are literally so many bodies lying around that people will be tripping over them? What can someone do or say when something like this would happen where they are from? The protection from any and all events like this can only come from God, and by staying closer to him and his ways. Let's continue in verses 4 through 6. It says, "Because of the countless harlotries of the seductive harlot, the mistress of sorceries, who sells nations through her harlotries and families through her sorceries, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I will lift your skirts over your face, and I will show the nations your nakedness, and the kingdoms your shame. I will throw filth on you, and make you vile, and make you a spectacle." God relates the message through Nahum that anything and everything that is against his way will be something evident and seen by other nations around the world. In this day and age, that will be no problem because of the internet, modern technological advances, and everything that is social media. A nation that cannot keep up the ways of the Lord is in jeopardy of suffering the fate that Nineveh had. There is nothing that can be hidden from the Lord. And this is no exception, brethren. The shame of a country is something that God can uncover and make sure that people see it as it is, a regretful shame. Reading now verses 7 through 10 here in Nahum chapter 3. It says, "All who look at you will flee from you and say, Nineveh is devastated. will lament for her. Where shall I seek comforters for you? Are you better than thieves? And that sat by the Nile, with water around her, whose rampart was the sea, and whose wall was the water. Ethiopia and Egypt were her strength, and it was without limit. Put and Libya were her helpers. Yet she went into exile. She went into captivity. Her young children were dashed to pieces at the head of every street. They cast lots for her honorable men, and all her great men were bound in chains. The devastating news of everything happening will be unimaginable for us to know and comprehend. The nations that will be watching, lamenting, going back and seeing what once was and what it would become would be something that would put the entire world on notice about the need to come to God. The vision of Nahum becomes clearer with each detail due to the elements needed from God that Nahum is able to write about. God wanted every single line of detail, as much as possible, and everything possible, really, to serve as a wake-up call for all who think they are above God. Let's continue in verses 11 through 19, here in Nahum chapter 3. It says, "You also will be drunk. You will go into hiding. You will seek refuge from the enemy. All your fortresses are like fig trees with first ripe figs. If they are shaken, they fall into the mouth of the eater. Your troops are women in your midst. The gates of your land are wide open to your enemies. Fire has devoured your barns. Draw water for the siege. Strengthen your forts. Go into the clay and tread the mortar. Take hold of the brick bolt. There the fire will devour you. The sword will cut you off. It will eat you up like the locust. Multiply yourselves like the locust. Multiply like the grasshopper. You have multiplied your merchants more than the stars of heaven. The locust plunders and the flies away and flies away. Your leaders are like grasshoppers, your commanders like swarms of locusts, which camp in the hedges on a cold day. When the sun rises, they fly away, and the place where they are is not known. Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles lie in the dust. Your people are scattered on the mountains, and no one gathers them. There is no healing of your injury. Your wound is grievous. All who hear news about you clap their hands over you. For upon whom has not your wickedness continually passed?" The message at the end of this chapter from the part of Nahum is clear for us today. The prophecy of the downfall for a nation, like in the case of Nineveh, is the legacy of a forgotten nation and people who decided to turn their back against God. Mankind becomes arrogant, proud, and selfish in thinking that a nation can prosper on its own and not with God at the helm. The comparison I made earlier in the beginning of the sermon was that the United States of America cannot go down the same path as Nineveh. We, as God's chosen Christians, Israel must pray for our leaders and continuously pray each and every day for God's kingdom to come. God and His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, offer the solution to anything and everything that happens in our lives. Remember, brethren, if there do come troublesome times ahead in the next few years, we must maintain ourselves watchful unto all events that happen during these times. Nahum's meaning of comfort represents the same comfort that Judah had because God was with them due to the keeping of the traditions and customs set by God and not by mankind. Our faith, our belief, and our reliance must be 100% placed on God. And we must all heed the warning of Nahum, because we do not want to be a part of the disorder and chaos that is to become of this world. God will never depart from His people, ever. Let's close today's sermon in Psalms 46. And we're going to read the entire chapter, verses 1 through 11. Psalms chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a well-proven help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her in the early dawn. The nations roared. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, see the works of the Lord, who makes desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts off the spear. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. That does conclude my message for today.